This is Jordan Sekulow in Washington, D.C. Another Gruber video strikes again. This time, he says, the basic exploitation of the lack of economic understanding of the American voter is the way they got Obamacare through.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Lack of transparency is a huge political advantage. You know, call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever. But basically, that was really, really critical to getting the thing to pass.
John Kerry said, no, we're going to tax your health insurance. We're going to tax those evil insurance companies. So basically, it's the same thing. We just tax the insurance companies. They pass it on higher prices. That offsets the tax break we get. It ends up being the same thing. It's a very clever, basic exploitation of the lack of economic understanding of the American voter.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I helped write the federal bill as well. I was a paid consultant to the Obama administration to help develop the technical details of the bill, so I come to you with my biases. But nonetheless, I think there's a lot to like in this bill.
Look, I wish Mark was right. We can make it all transparent, but I'd rather have this law than not.
It suggests that voters are stupid, and that's how you passed it. You don't feel bad about that at all.
I disagree vigorously with that assessment, I think is what I would say. I think the fact of the matter is this was a very difficult undertaking. It is Republicans who have been less than forthright and transparent about what their proposed changes to the Affordable Care Act would do in terms of the choices that are available to middle-class families.
The comment in the video were made at an academic conference. I was speaking off the cuff, and I basically spoke inappropriately, and I regret having made those comments. Lack of transparency is a huge political advantage. You know, call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever. But basically, that was really, really critical to getting the thing to pass.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. The Gruber train doesn't stop. Even after his apology, there was another video where he called the American people too stupid. This is after he referred to the stupidity of the American voter. And then he apologizes, and then there's another video. This time, it's the clever, basic exploitation of the lack of economic understanding of the American voter. You just aren't smart enough, so we can exploit you. Exploiting you is what Jonathan Gruber, the architect of Obamacare, and don't believe for a minute he was just a professor with an idea that the administration picked up on. Because here he is, this goes back to 2010, testifying before Congress. You may be asking yourself right now and say, Jordan, who are you talking about? Jonathan Gruber. Here it is, bite one.
I helped write the federal bill as well. I was a paid consultant to the Obama administration to help develop the technical details of the bill, so I come to you with my biases. But nonetheless, I think there's a lot to like in this bill.
Paid consultant to the Obama administration to help develop the technical details of the bill. This is the same person who says you're too stupid, the same person who refers to the stupidity of the American voter, the same person who said it was basic exploitation to get Obamacare through. And he was the same person who admitted at another one of those academic conferences or forums on video and on camera and on microphone that the state exchanges were the crux of the health care law. And that there was no such thing as federal subsidies. If the states didn't set it up, the people in those states, which would be 36, would not get any federal subsidies for their health insurance. He said that on the record. We're going to play all of this for you so you get to know who is Jonathan Gruber. Why is he so important? And of course, it's because there's a Supreme Court case about what he was talking about with those subsidies. It's at the U.S. Supreme Court. It will be heard early 2015. The briefs are going to be due at the end of this year, and you can have your name on the brief. So this is not a petition. This is putting your name on the brief. And I want to add, just on radio today, at least 1,000 more people on our brief so we get close to 80,000. Call our toll-free number now and add your name, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org and sign the brief online.
The The U.S. Supreme Court has accepted a critical case that could gut the deeply flawed Obamacare law. The High Court will consider an important component to determine whether a major funding mechanism for Obamacare is unconstitutional. Now, at the American Center for Law and Justice, we are mobilizing. We will be filing a critical amicus brief on behalf of members of Congress and Americans, asking the High Court to accept the findings of an appeals court, which correctly determined that subsidies for Obamacare are for state exchanges, not federal exchanges. Sign on to our brief today. President Obama does not have the authority to rewrite the law. Add your name to our committee urging the Supreme Court to reject Obamacare. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you could add your name online at aclj.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Folks, we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Are you one of those stupid American voters that the architect of Obamacare, the paid architect of Obamacare, is referring to in his remarks in 2012, 2013? Of course, he apologizes, and then a video comes out and says, well, it was just the basic, clever exploitation of the lack of the American people's understanding of the economy. So, again, insulting the American people. We're going to take your phone calls. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I want to lay this all out for you, and so you understand, this was not all one speech. This was not all one period of time. It dates back to, if you missed the beginning of the show, this is Jonathan Gruber testifying at a congressional hearing January 2010 about who he is. So here, in his own words, who is Jonathan Gruber, this guy calling American people stupid that we're told is the architect of Obamacare? He is, in fact, the architect of Obamacare. Take a listen, bite one.
I helped write the federal bill as well. I was a paid consultant to the Obama administration to help develop the technical details of the bill, so I come to you with my biases. But nonetheless, I think there's a lot to like in this bill.
Folks, again, that is Jonathan Gruber. That's who we're talking about. Now, I want to take it back to 2012. So that's just 2 years after he made those remarks in 2010, 2 years forward. He starts talking about what is at issue at the U.S. Supreme Court. This is an exciting case, folks. You have an opportunity to have your name on the brief that we are going to be filing along with members of Congress. The brief is due before the end of the year, so we have to start compiling names now. We're close to 80,000 people. I want to add another 1,000 on today's broadcast just by radio. Call our toll-free number. It doesn't cost a thing to add your name to this brief. It's not a petition. This is adding your name to part of history, a real chance to take down Obamacare. And we didn't know if we'd have another opportunity like this, especially in federal court at the highest court in the land, the U.S. Supreme Court. They have agreed to hear this case. If you want to add your name, you call our toll-free number now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org. You can sign the brief online, aclj.org, or by phone right now, 877-989-2255. This is the crux of the case. Now remember, you're listening to the architect of Obamacare. Take a listen, bite two.
It says if the states don't provide them, the federal backstop will. The federal government has been sort of slow in putting out its backstop, I think partly because they want to sort of squeeze the states to do it. I think what's important to remember politically about this is if you're a state and you don't set up an exchange, that means your citizens don't get their tax credits. But your citizens still pay the taxes that support this bill. So you're essentially saying your citizens, you're going to pay all the taxes to help all the other states in the country. I hope that that's a blatant enough political reality that states will get their act together and realize there are billions of dollars at stake here.
And David French, we now know that was back in 2012. Here we are in 2014, that 36 states decided that Jonathan Gruber was wrong, that maybe he was the one who was, you know, not so smart when it came to setting up these exchanges at the state level. And so you're in a situation today where there are only 14 states that have set up exchanges, and a provision of the law about whether or not these federally run exchanges in the 36 other states that didn't set up their own, can these people still receive subsidies? And the law says nothing. It doesn't say that. The law says if you set up a state, they get subsidies. And this means, David, I want you to explain it to people, if this provision goes down, the whole law goes down.
Well, that's right, because this provision is the foundation of the individual mandate. Because what Obamacare essentially did is tell Americans, we're going to force you to buy unaffordable insurance. But to soften the blow, we're going to provide subsidies for this insurance we're forcing you to buy. Well, if the subsidies aren't there, then the insurance is just plain old unaffordable. It is loaded up with all of the bells and whistles of Obamacare that most families don't need, don't want. And so, therefore, the mandate begins to fall apart. You cannot sustain this structure. And what the President of the United States will have to do, if the Supreme Court rules the right way on this, he'll have to go to Congress and he'll have to reopen Obamacare for legislative action. And that's the last thing he wants to do. He's been trying to avoid it for years, but he'll have no real choice.
Folks, if you want to talk to us on air, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So far, we've been breaking down who is Jonathan Gruber, this guy who's called everybody in America basically an idiot, who has also said that they basically, in a clever way, basic exploitation of the lack of the American people's economic understanding. That's the latest soundbite after he... They're calling it apology. I don't think he did that. We'll play that for you as well in the show today. But I want you to understand that this is not just about pointing out a guy who said stupid remarks on video, at conferences, on the microphone. It's just like what I'm doing with you right now. I'm live on radio. So what I say is out there forever. And he knew that when he was giving those speeches, but he thought, oh, he was at academic conferences, so only the smart people would be paying attention there. Well, he was wrong. And now it's at the heart of a case at the Supreme Court. So this is not just to batter someone. This is because what he is talking about as the architect is now at the U.S. Supreme Court and could take Obamacare down. Now, I know many of you support that idea, but we need to hear from you. We've got a brief, so this is not a petition. We'll be putting together a brief in support of the plaintiffs here who again, believe that this law and the way that the IRS, of course, here where they go again with the IRS, interprets it, is not legal. It's just an illegal interpretation of the law, that Congress didn't write it this way, and therefore the subsidies shouldn't be going to places that didn't set up a state exchange, which would mean the majority of people under Obamacare, which would mean Obamacare would be gone. And so, folks, a rare opportunity to gut the law once again at the U.S. Supreme Court. It is going to be heard. It'll be heard early next year. We'll have a decision by the summer, but the briefs are due before the end of the year. So to add your name to the brief, we've got to hear from you right now. And it's a toll-free number. It doesn't cost a thing, and we really want to hear from people across the country. So pick up your phone and dial this number. It's toll-free, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org and sign the brief, not a petition, the brief online, aclj.org, or call 877-989-2255. Let's go right to the phones. Karen calling in from Texas, online four. Karen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thanks. I just wanted to call and voice my personal absolute frustration over this whole Obamacare thing. My husband pastors a church here in the town where we live in Texas, and because it's a small church, we don't have insurance through the church. We have to have private insurance. And up until this year, we just flew by the seat of our pants and managed because we were concerned that we might be penalized because we couldn't afford any more out of our pocket anyway. We opted to get into the exchange and get insurance. And while we were very grateful that the monthly premium for my husband, myself, and our two college-age sons was relatively affordable for $379 a month to cover us all, we haven't used this coverage even once this year. Got a letter in the mail 2 days ago from our carrier telling us that that relatively affordable premium of $379 starting in 2015 is going up to $684.
Well, this is what we're seeing, Karen, across the country. I mean, you are, it's as if you're living the headlines that were out this morning and yesterday in the mainstream media, the CBS News, talking about how in 2015, rising cost, rising penalties. That's what the CBS News headline was about Obamacare. And Karen, thank you for your phone call and for telling your story. I would like hearing about people because who are affected by this and have actually had to deal with this and know what's coming down the road. The law was written, as Gruber said, you know, to try to exploit people's lack of economic understanding to have these significant increases. Start off very small, start off with low amounts, and then boom, you're hit with double and triple the amounts you owe.
The whole thing was written on deception, Jordan. It was rooted in deception. And really, the subsidies issue that we're talking about is just the tip of the iceberg here. I really want to encourage folks to go to ACLJ.org and read a very good blog that is up by Matthew Clark. It outlines a whole list of items that, frankly, Jordan, they were lied about. I mean, they claimed it wasn't a tax in order to pass it. They claimed that people wouldn't lose their plans. They claimed that people's costs wouldn't increase like the caller is experiencing now. They told people that abortion wasn't in the bill. And on and on it goes. Matthew's outlined a whole area of these. But the bottom line here, Jordan, the marketing for this bill was rooted in lies. And to me, the most offensive thing that you've played from Jonathan Gruber of all of them, yes, the stupid American thing, that's very offensive. The most offensive thing is his open admission that they were intending to deceive the American people. It wasn't an accident. They meant to do it.
Folks, and that is why when we have an opportunity to defeat Obamacare at the U.S. Supreme Court, and I did not think I'd be saying that again on radio ever again after the last case, the Affordable Care Act. So this is not a replay. This is a new case, a new issue, and it could gut Obamacare. If you want your name on our brief and to join with members of Congress, we've got to have that submitted before the end of the year. So we've got to gather these names right now. Be a part of history. This case could take down Obamacare. Don't you want your name to be on a brief in support of just that? Call our toll-free number, it doesn't cost a thing, 877-989-2255, and add your name now, 877-989-2255.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. The U.S. Supreme Court has accepted a critical case that could gut the deeply flawed Obamacare law. The High Court will consider an important component to determine whether a major funding mechanism for Obamacare is unconstitutional. Now, at the American Center for Law and Justice, we are mobilizing. We will be filing a critical amicus brief on behalf of members of Congress and Americans asking the High Court to accept the findings of an appeals court, which correctly determined that subsidies for Obamacare are for state exchanges, not federal exchanges. Sign on to our brief today. President Obama does not have the authority to rewrite the law. Add your name to our committee urging the Supreme Court to reject Obamacare. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you could add your name online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I'm joined in our Washington studio by Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, and David French joining us from our studio in Tennessee, Senior Counsel with the ACLJ, as we break down not just to play the architect of Obamacare calling everyone stupid, not just to play the fact that he says it was clever, basic exploitation of the lack of economic understanding of the American voter, but it's because he also talked about, and we played played this in the show, we'll play it again in the second half hour, because I don't want to take up too much time and I want to get to your phone calls. As the architect, he said, if the states don't set up exchanges, the people there won't get subsidies. Not the federal government will then give them subsidies. It's very clear. And he said it was because it's an incentive. It was to get the states to all go on board, even if they didn't like the idea of Obamacare, because they wouldn't want their people to have to pay more. And so few states set up exchanges, 14 to be exact, that the federal government, to keep Obamacare alive, said, well, actually, we'll give you subsidies if your state doesn't set up an exchange. And that's 36 states in the country. So he talks about how that was not supposed to be part of the law. It's not in the law. The law is very clear about that provision. It says that people in states that didn't set up a subsidy, it doesn't have any mention of them getting a federal subsidy. It's only about people who are in states that set up their own state exchange, that the state bought into the program. So, folks, that's the case at the U.S. Supreme Court. That is what is going to be heard at the U.S. Supreme Court early next year and will be decided on. And if that falls, think about that. We're talking about 36 state subsidies. That's the entire law. It's gone. This is another way, like the individual mandate, another way to gut Obamacare once and for all. And we've got a brief. We have members of Congress, but we also want you on that brief. Almost 80,000 people have signed on. Now, you may say, well, Jordan, this case is not until early next year. Why now? We have to have our briefs in before the end of this year. With the holidays coming up, you don't want to miss the opportunity to be part of history, to take a stand. You have to take every opportunity that comes forward and act on it. This is not one most people predicted. I never thought I'd be back on radio talking about the U.S. Supreme Court gutting Obamacare. But here we are. Let's take that opportunity. Do what you can. You can add your name to our brief for absolutely nothing. It doesn't cost you a thing. The phone call is free, too, a toll-free number. You call 877-989-2255, and your name will be on the brief, the same brief as members of Congress in opposition to Obamacare, this provision that if the court finds is not in the law and violates the law, just reading the law, it falls. All of Obamacare falls. If you have supported that, if you've worked at that, if you've campaigned for it, if you fought for it, and you thought we didn't have any more opportunities until President Obama was gone, maybe, well, here we go. The U.S. Supreme Court doesn't answer to him. Call now and add your name to our brief. Don't wait a moment, because we're not going to be talking about it every week in the lead up, but we've got to have this in before the end of the year, and we've got to compile these names now. Call our toll-free number and add your name to this brief. Be a part of history. You don't want to look back and say, this was the case that brought down Obamacare. I had a chance to put my name on it, and I didn't. We're giving you that opportunity to make your voice heard at the highest court in the land. Call now. Toll-free number. Doesn't cost you a thing. 877-989-2255 is the number you call. That's 877-989-2255. Now, we'll play some of the sound bites again. I know many of you have heard them. Let me get to some of the phone calls, though, as well. And I think there is some cynicism here, and I can understand that. Tim in Tennessee on line three. Tim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm a 20-year vet, Democrat by birth.
Thank you for your service.
Thanks. Democrat by birth, but independent by choice. With all due respect, anybody who reelected Obama back in 2012, well, Mr. Gruber was partly right about that. Okay, from A to Z, Mr. Obama is totally incompetent. The first thing, when the new Congress swears in January, the first thing they need to do, hurry and impeach him.
Well, listen, that's a whole nother topic with this immigration move. I haven't even gotten into that. I put it up on social media, my Facebook page, on my Twitter, twitter.com/JordanSeculo. Last night, it broke that President Obama's planning executive action. I'm just explaining it, Tim, because you're someone who's informed, to everyone who may not have seen this yet in the news, and there's so much in the news right now, that he's planning this executive action, so no legislative authority, no act of Congress, that will give basically a kind of amnesty to upwards of 4.5 million is the exact, upwards, so over 4.5 million illegal immigrants. And he's planning to announce that as early as next week. Could that lead to that kind of talk, the impeachment talk? Absolutely. That's the kind of act that could. Now, we'll see. Sometimes it's big talk out of the White House and not so big on the executive actions that actually they put out or actually exist. So they're trying to kind of play to their liberal base or even some in the Hispanic community who don't think they're doing enough. And then it comes out and you say, okay, it's bad, but it's not exactly even what they were claiming it would do. So we'll have to see before we pass complete judgment, though President Obama has told us this is what's coming. Tim, thank you for your phone call, and I think we have to see on that issue. But this is one we don't have to wait on. We know the Supreme Court is going to be hearing this case. And I want to go to David. David, you know, you went to Harvard. You're someone, you've been in these institutions. You understand how people talk. Is this the norm at your academic conferences or at their academic conferences to belittle and as Howard Dean says, they're so out of touch? I mean, usually I don't agree with Howard Dean. Let's play him because we agree with him today. Bite 13.
The problem is not that he said it. The problem is that he thinks it.
Right.
That the core. I'm serious.
It's the core kids problem. Like that.
It was put together by a bunch of elitists who don't really fundamentally understand the American people. That's what the problem is.
David, I would think this is one time we agree with Howard Dean.
Oh, well, absolutely. I mean, you have to see the arrogance to really understand its depth. I mean, when I was in law school, and I got to Harvard Law School the year after Barack Obama graduated, and Ted Cruz was with me for a couple of years, and the environment there was unbelievable. The sense of superiority, the sense of intellectual superiority, the sense of moral superiority, the sense that they knew what was best, to trust them, they were going to figure it all out. I mean, it really, you know, that was not everybody. There were some humble people on the left. But I tell you, from in the ranks, the high academic ranks in the Ivy League, you really have to see the arrogance to really understand it. And you're seeing it in Gruber's talks here. He's proud of the fact that he accomplished fooling the American people. This is a badge of honor for him. Why do you think he's repeating it again and again at these academic conferences? Because he thinks it's a big deal. He's glad he did it, and he knows the audience will appreciate him for it.
We've got a lot more coming up in the next half hour. If you're hanging on the line to talk to us on the air, please stay on the line. We've got another half hour. We'll get to your phone calls. If you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110. I can't let you go during the show without hearing it at least once, one of the stupid remarks. A reminder of who these people are deep down when they don't think anyone is going to, which is pretty stupid, actually, that no one's ever going to see a video on a microphone of a speech that was public. Bite 11.
For people with expensive health insurance plans, they will no longer get a 40% tax break. What if we instead just levied a 40% tax on the insurance companies that sell these terrible, expensive Cadillac plans? We said, well, that's pretty much the same thing. But why does it matter? I said, you'll see. And they were posted, and that passed. Because the American voter is too stupid to understand the difference.
And people laugh. We're not too stupid, folks. You're not too stupid. Now, his law that he was the architect of could fall again at the U.S. Supreme Court. We have this second opportunity. Add your name to the brief. You got to do so today. It's free. Call 877-989-2255. Do it now. 877-989-2255.
Sign on to our brief today. President Obama does not have the authority to rewrite the law. Add your name to our committee urging the Supreme Court to reject Obamacare. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you could add your name online at aclj.org.
We'll be right back. How perfect is that, folks? I mean, you know, can we play that again, guys? I just want to set the stage for people. We're talking about Jonathan Gruber. You may have remembered the Saturday Night Live skit MacGruber. I think it was also became a movie. But the idea here, again, everything was said right there, not just that his name kind of matches MacGruber, Jonathan Gruber, the architect of Obamacare, who, remember, he said, this is what he said, after he was caught once on video calling the American people stupid, then apologizing, then caught again on video calling the American people stupid, and then caught again after his apology saying that it was clever, basic exploitation of the American voter. Clever, basic exploitation. Again, that's just a nicer way of saying stupid people. We took advantage of stupid people with a bully pulpit and lying. So take a listen to his apology by 12, and then I think you'll definitely get the context of the song.
The comment and the video were made at an academic conference. I was speaking off the cuff, and I basically spoke inappropriately, and I regret having made those comments.
At an academic conference, yeah, I wish I could do his voice because it's so perfect for who you think this person is. He sounds so tough sometimes. He talks real rapidly other times, and then he's got this. He never apologized there. He just said he spoke inappropriately and regrets having made the comments at the academic conference. Because speaking off the cuff, he likes to refer to people as stupid over and over again. So it wasn't just once. Remember that. He is referring to one time. It happened again, and then he used the exploitation thing, exploiting people's basic misunderstanding of the economy. So that is why we play the song for Jonathan Gruber. I think it should be the song that really defines his career. And I bet Gruber's doing a lot in private right now, trying to figure out exactly, you know, where he stands with maybe his school, maybe with the Obama administration, because they're saying, by the way, you got to love this. They're saying it wasn't Gruber, it was Republicans who did this. Now, I am not making that up. You have to listen to this question and answer, but this is, you're going to hear the question, and you're going to hear Josh Earnest, the White House press secretary, saying that it was Republicans who did this. It was Republicans who made the process non-transparent. Now, of course, they weren't in charge of the House. They didn't have control of the Senate, and there was a Democrat in the White House. So Democrat, blame the minority party. Listen to it, because that's what the White House did, by 14.
To suggest that voters are stupid and that's how you passed it, you don't feel bad about that at all?
I disagree vigorously with that assessment, I think is what I would say. I think the fact of the matter is this was a very difficult undertaking. But ultimately, this is a law that has had significant benefits for millions of people. It is Republicans who have been less than forthright and transparent about what their proposed changes to the Affordable Care Act would do in terms of the choices that are available to middle-class families.
You know, can you believe, I'll go to Than and David on this quickly. Than first, the idea that the White House is trying to blame this on the Republicans who had who were the minority party then in the House. They had not taken back the House yet. They took back the House because of Obamacare from Democrats. That's when Nancy Pelosi lost her job. They, of course, didn't have the Senate. They don't have that until January. And they don't have the White House. Then they didn't have it then either.
They're left saying that we don't like the Republicans' ideas, so all of the ideas that we put together and enacted, the fact that they are failing, we blame it on the Republicans because their ideas are bad too. The other thing, Jordan, they're left arguing that they made a typo. So all of these brilliant people who are so much smarter than all of the rest of us made a typo, and that's why they're facing this argument at the Supreme Court. Doesn't sound very smart to me.
David, just quickly to you as well, the idea that, again, that's being blamed on the conservatives, a lot of our listeners out there, that's who the White House is blaming for the statements from the architect of Obamacare.
That's just crazy. The fact of the matter is the people that he was deceiving were liberals in Congress, Democrats in Congress that they had to deceive to get this bill passed. That's the only way it passed.
Folks, we have a chance to take this down, and we have the chance to take it down because of people like Jonathan Gruber. He thought he was so smart, except for his law has a fatal, potentially majorly fatal flaw on the subsidies issue. And if that goes, and the U.S. Supreme Court is going to hear it, it all goes. Call, add your name to the brief, 877-989-2255.
The U.S. Supreme Court has accepted a critical case that could gut the deeply flawed Obamacare law. The High Court will consider an important component to determine whether a major funding mechanism for Obamacare is unconstitutional. Now, at the American Center for Law and Justice, we are mobilizing. We will be filing a critical amicus brief on behalf of members of Congress and Americans, asking the High Court to accept the findings of an appeals court, which correctly determined that subsidies for Obamacare are for state exchanges, not federal exchanges. Sign on to our brief today. President Obama does not have the authority to rewrite the law. Add your name to our committee urging the Supreme Court to reject Obamacare. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you could add your name online at aclj.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
At the Academic Call for All.
They're not played accidentally today because we happen to like that song. It's because Jonathan Gruber, the architect of Obamacare, and his fake apology, I don't even know why people are referring to his apology, on MSNBC yesterday, he was referring to one time he called people stupid, and he said he was speaking off the cuff, and he spoke inappropriately, and he regrets that. But again, that was not to, he wasn't saying, and by the way, I did it a few other times, and you're going to find out about that. I guess when you have a microphone on and there's video cameras in the room, that may come back, especially when you're the self-proclaimed and you are the paid architect of Obamacare. And you're so proud of that after the law passes. And while the law is being challenged in court, you're supporting the law and you're calling people names. And now the law is up again at the court. Years later, people didn't see this coming. And guess what? Everything is out there. And the architect is saying that the subsidies weren't supposed to work this way, which is exactly the case at the U.S. Supreme Court. We have an opportunity, folks, a historic opportunity, a second chance at the U.S. Supreme Court, the highest court in the land, to defeat Obamacare. This would gut it. Like the individual mandate, the subsidies is kind of it's the federal version of what you have to do personally. It's what the government has to do in exchange. And if the government can't do that without a fix to the law legislatively, which isn't going to happen with a Republican House and a Republican Senate, so President Obama can't do that by executive action, then the law goes down. If the court reads it a strict interpretation of the legislative text, this law goes down. I never thought we'd have another opportunity. I really didn't think I'd ever be back on radio talking about defeating Obamacare at the Supreme Court. Other avenues, yes. But at the U.S. Supreme Court, not really. And yet here we are. We seize the moment, folks. We all have a duty to seize the moment. If you fought Obamacare, if you've campaigned against Obamacare, if you've told people why you disagree with it, if you're feeling the bad negative impacts of the cost hikes that are about to happen to Obamacare in 2015, and if you've lost insurance or you're not getting as good coverage because of Obamacare, you need to add your name to our brief. The briefs are due before the end of the year. The case will be early next year and the decision will come out next summer, but we've got to get our briefs in very soon. So you've got a limited time to add your name, to be part of history in defeating Obamacare. To add your name, it's simple. It doesn't cost a thing. We have a toll-free number you call, and you add your name to the brief. And you can join members of Congress who will be on our brief that we represent in saying that you want this law to be done with. And you've got a chance to do it, a second chance at getting it at the Supreme Court. So don't miss this opportunity. Call our toll-free number now. No excuses here. It doesn't cost a thing to to call this number, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org if you prefer that. To sign online. This is not a petition. It's adding your name to the brief. You can do that at aclj.org as well. So you can do it by phone, 877-989-2255, or online at aclj.org. Let's get to some phone calls. Let's go to John in California, line 5. John, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jordan. Good morning. I just wanted to thank you guys for the work that you guys do. And I wanted to let you guys know that I feel like you guys have done a really great job in terms of uncovering and explaining the deception around the passage of the law and the arrogance, you know, in the parties involved. I think there's one thing, one piece that I would like you guys to clarify or, you know, explain to our listeners, and that is, what do you think the left is trying to get out of this law? I mean, if the prices are going to go up with the insurances, you know, what do you think that they're trying to accomplish here?
Well, John, let me see if we can figure this out together while I've got you on the line. The left didn't really love this law. They kind of went along with it. They liked President Obama because of one reason. Do you remember the reason why they really don't like this law? What they want? What's the left's goal when it comes to insurance? Do you remember that?
I don't.
The left's goal is to do away with private insurance, to have a completely government-run healthcare system like European style, where there are no private insurance companies. There may be healthcare plans available to the very rich who can afford private plans, but it won't be through your employer. There won't be subsidies. It won't be something you get to choose. It will be something provided to you by the government. So what do I think they hope to get out of it in the long run? I think they thought if they could get it through the courts, which it looked like they did the first time, and they could stop repeals because, you know, President Obama's got his veto power. We don't have those kind of numbers to override that, even with the Republican majority in the House and Senate. This may sound shocking to people, but they play realpolitik, crash the system. So if you crash the system in America, there's kind of a history of saying, okay, government, now help us. And what happens then? A real government-run single-payer system where insurance companies no longer exist. And John, I'll go to David and I'll go to Than here as well. That's my interpretation. Is if we can get this law through, it's not everything we want. It may not work well. So people will then say, please help us more and we'll get the full government program. Does that make sense, John?
It does. But I think that's like a roulette politically. I mean, because then it could totally backfire, right? I mean,
well, it has in midterm elections, but it didn't backfire in President Obama's reelection effort. You know, it didn't go into effect yet. It was written, so they didn't have to worry about that. They have lost control first of the House, then the Senate, just most recently, but they've kept the White House and they've kept that veto power. So all they really are worried about right now is the Supreme Court. And I don't think they were planning for this to be at the Supreme Court so quickly or ever. But David, let me get your opinion on that.
You know, one of the things, a short-term goal for Obamacare was dramatically increasing access to abortion and turning private insurers and private employers like Hobby Lobby into instruments of increasing access to abortion. I mean, that was one of the ways this was sold to the hard left, was this was a way to increase access to abortion for women across the country. This was a way to increase and widen the scope of the so-called war on women that we've heard so much about. There's a lot in Obamacare that were giveaways to the left to bring them on board. And, you know, one of the things here that's a latent poison pill in our system is it is entirely possible, and just as you said, Jordan, in the next few years they might come forward and say, well, here's what we need to do to deal with all this broken insurance is create the public option insurance, Medicare for all. In other words, to have government-run insurance as an option, which would then swallow everything else. And I think that's one of the long-term goals here.
Sure. And so, Tom, I hope that explained things for you. Than, before I go to you, let's take this call, line 6, Susan in Virginia. Susan, thanks for holding on. And those of you who are still holding, remember, we've got more time on the show, so stay on the line. We are going to get to your phone call. Susan, thanks for joining us today.
Okay, thank you. Just a few points I want to make. I've been in the insurance industry most of my life, Medicaid. I've picked out plans for employees. Health insurance has always been very complicated. I want to say that Gruber delivered to the American public a very transparent statement. I'm not saying that I agree with what he said, that the American people are stupid, but the American people are trusting. They generally don't understand health insurance plans. They're very complicated, and this administration took advantage of that. The best example that I can give you is my husband is a very brilliant man. He's a fiber optic engineer. He delivers our annual health insurance plans to me every year to decipher. And this administration, in the introduction of the ACA and everything, has taken advantage of that with the American people, because most people do not understand health insurance. And I think that's the point that I want to make. And I think that is what Gruber is saying and laughing about. And that is why it's so important to sign this petition. They edged in there at a time when health insurance is very complicated. Very few people understand the nuances of their plans. They do want to see some changes in the landscape of health
Absolutely.
Insurance. And they bought these concepts, and this administration took advantage of it. And it angers people like me that do understand Medicaid, that do understand health insurance, to see what's happening in this country. And
what's great, Susan, I want to thank you for your phone call, because you can tell you're really an expert on this issue. And it's this. The most popular parts about this law that they love touting, that you can stay on your parents' insurance until you're 26 years old, through your 26 years old, and you can, the pre-existing conditions and expansions of Medicaid to cover more of the poor. None of those required this full redo of the healthcare system, which wasn't a total redo. The insurance companies are still there. The profits are still high. And so, again, you could have made reforms that were common sense that people wanted. You could have, of course, it would have taken legislative action. Everyone would not be satisfied with every little part of it, but it certainly didn't have to be more complicated. It didn't have to be more bureaucratic, more confusing. And that is the problem with this law. It's why it may fall on itself now, because of the drafting was done so poorly, and the text, again, the text doesn't match what the government says it does. I love how the IRS gets to make up its own legislative text. Did they get elected? I don't think so. Call our toll-free number now and add your name to our brief. It's free to do so, and we've got to have the names before the end of this year. We're working on it right now. You're joining members of Congress. Call our toll-free number, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. The U.S. Supreme Court has accepted a critical case that could gut the deeply flawed Obamacare law. The High Court will consider an important component to determine whether a major funding mechanism for Obamacare is unconstitutional. Now, at the American Center for Law and Justice, we are mobilizing. We will be filing a critical amicus brief on behalf of members of Congress and Americans, asking the High Court to accept the findings of an appeals court, which correctly determined that subsidies for Obamacare are for state exchanges, not federal exchanges. Sign on to our brief today. President Obama does not have the authority to rewrite the law. Add your name to our committee urging the Supreme Court to reject Obamacare. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you could add your name online at aclj.org.
My stupid mouth has got me in trouble. I said too much again to a date over dinner yesterday.
If you're saying right now, okay, guys, it's Jay Sekulow live, and Jordan, why are you playing these songs about MacGruber? Why the American Idiot? Why the apology and saying things, you know, didn't mean to say? Well, we're going to Jonathan Gruber. He's the architect of Obamacare, and he was paid, by the way, and we played that. He gave testimony in 2010 before Congress. He's paid by HHS, by the Obama administration, to craft and write the law, the Obamacare law. So he was proud of that, but he also then started talking a little bit later in 2012 and 2013 about how the way they got it through was because of stupid American voters and clever basic exploitation. In fact, take a listen to this one. Guys, let's play that, starting with the part about John Kerry by five.
John Kerry said, no, we're going to tax your health insurance. We're going to tax those evil insurance companies. So basically, it's the same thing. We just tax the insurance companies. They pass it on higher prices. That offsets the tax break we get. It ends up being the same thing. It's a very clever, basic exploitation of the lack of economic understanding of the American voter.
Now, folks, do you understand if they would have explained it that way, which they never would have, but now they do, that people would understand that. Wait, so you're just going to charge someone else more who's then going to charge me more for it. That's basic economics of kind of how things work and the market system works. Someone purchases it or they're providing a service. They're trying to make something off of that. But this is the government we're talking about, who is playing games with insurance companies and then who's pushing the cost. So still blame the insurance companies. Act like they're the problem. Remember what I just said in the break before? Because ultimately they want to get rid of that private insurance. So still make them the bad guys. They're the ones who pass the cost on from the government. But wait, the government is the one that made them have to spend more. So folks, again, it's not exploiting you. They never would admit to this. They would never say this. People were talking about it. We were on the show, but we don't have the pulpit of the President of the United States during a presidential election or after he was popular, a very popular election, a landslide victory in 2008. This was his one legislative achievement. Remember, he put it all on the line for this. He knew that this vote, which barely passed the House, that would mean the end probably of Democrat control of the House. It was. Now there's the end of Democrat control of the Senate. So he's the remaining person in the branches of government that are political. He's it. And now his one piece of legislation is before the Supreme Court again. He must think deja vu or bad dream that his one legislative achievement could again be brought down, and brought down because of people like Jonathan Gruber, who wrote a law intentionally or unintentionally that doesn't provide the subsidies that the IRS says it will, and for the majority of the people. It's very simple. 36 states didn't sign up for subsidies. They didn't sign up to start their own exchange. And the law says people only get subsidies if their state does it. 14 did. So those people, under that interpretation of the law, they should get the subsidies. The people in the other 36 states shouldn't. Now, what does it mean if this part of the law goes down? All of the law goes. I'm going to take your phone calls now. We're going to do them rapid fire. Rob in Texas, line 3. Rob, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Jordan. I just wanted to tell you guys, first off, how much I appreciate y'all informing the public about what's going on up there.
Thanks, Rob.
First thing is if it's such a good law, and I'm not saying intentional, unintentional, but if it's such a good law and everything was on the up and up, why all the deception, you know, to the voters and to even, as you were talking about yesterday, the congressional, the CBO, you know, why are we trying?
Because it wasn't a good law. It was part of what they wanted to get done. I don't want to take up too much time, Rob, but it's that whole theme I've been talking about. It's part of the steps that they want to take. They want to move the ball forward towards full government-run healthcare. So they, in a sense, have to crash the system a bit. Keep blaming the insurance companies, make them the bad guys, not the government, make the Supreme Court the bad guys, and maybe people will be in a tough enough spot where they'll say, government, please save us. We'll just take whatever you'll give us, and no more insurance companies, no more private choice when it comes to health insurance. We'll be like Europe, except we're a lot bigger than those countries, and their health insurance is not good, And if you don't have, if you're not in the top, say 5-10% of the country, you're not going to see a doctor real quick. They're gonna ration off care. That's ultimately what they want to get to, is the end of private insurance. So I'm going to continue to take phone calls now. Everybody's got about 20 seconds. Let's start with Faye in Wyoming, line two. Faye, welcome to the show.
Yes. If the Supreme Court does reverse this and it's gutted and goes away, what is going to replace it? And if it's a government program, how is it going to be funded?
Well, wait, what will replace it? Nothing necessarily will come in its place. So it's just that these provisions no longer apply. They don't apply to insurance companies. They don't apply to you. They don't apply to the state, and the federal government can't enforce any of this. So the law is gone. Now, there will be fixes to the healthcare system that would come from this, and I suspect we will know what those fixes are before this case is even heard early next year, and of course before the decision. Because here's something, you know, we weren't talking about as much in the election, last election cycle, because president could veto, you know, if they try to repeal Obamacare, he could veto that, and there are not enough votes in the Senate to override a veto. But here's the thing, if his law goes down, he's not going to want to be known as the guy who could have still saved health insurance for people who are young, like up to 26 years old, or pre-existing conditions, or expanding some Medicaid so more of the poor are covered. He's not going to want to necessarily be known as the guy who said no to those changes after his law failed. So that's when we have a real opportunity to put forward reforms. And I agree, we've got to do that. And now is the time, because between now and the case, a lot of people are going to be asking that question. What happens next? Not just will the law go away that I don't like, but what happens with the healthcare system? And we do have to do a good job explaining that. A couple more calls. Charles in Georgia, line four. Charles, very quickly, you're on the air.
Yes. My question is, would it be possible for the Republicans to pass a law that would make it a felony for any public official, especially in Congress or the president, to be in collusion with or collaboration with, or to design a law like Obamacare where it's got fraught with lies and deception against the American people, so they would end up going to jail and removed from office?
Well, you've got it. That's going to be up to the lawmakers, though. So are they going to hold themselves to that kind of scrutiny? Depends on the people you elect, honestly. I mean, that doesn't really exist as of now. That would have to be something in the future. So I think, you know what, I don't know if we hold out for that, Charles, because politicians are politicians, and how much of the liability they want to have. And ultimately, they didn't even read the law. He's talking about all the American people. We elect these officials to do their job and then tell us what they're learning in Washington, because we all have our own jobs, right? Except for they didn't read the law. There was impossible to read the whole law, and it wasn't just the law, it was all the codes that go with it. You had to be a tax expert, a health expert, an administrative law expert, and a constitutional scholar to really understand all the different ramifications going on and understand state law, insurance law. The list goes on and on. And so even if you just read what was called the Affordable Care Act, it doesn't tell you everything, because it refers to all these different federal codes. So ultimately, should they be held responsible? Well, they are in elections. We elect these people. Ultimately, it does fall on us. But that doesn't mean we can't fight when something is wrong, even if people are elected and voted for it, if it's wrong under the Constitution, the laws of the land. Timothy, very quickly, I'll take you to line five. You got about 10 seconds here.
Yes, I just wanted to say I really believe what your father said about 2 days ago. He said this is a providence and hand of God that this has been brought back to the Supreme Court. I totally agree, and just as the scripture says, we're a Christian nation, and just like it says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, that I would hear from heaven and I would heal their land. I think that this is exactly what's taking place, you know, being that this is the most pro-abortion bill ever passed in our history.
Timothy, I'm only cutting you off because I got 10 seconds left. I agree with everything you said. I do think this is a moment we have to seize on. God gives us opportunities to act. Let's act, folks. If you want to be on The Brief, 877-989-2255. It's toll free.
Sign on to our brief today. President Obama does not have the authority to rewrite the law. Add your name to our committee urging the Supreme Court to reject Obamacare. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you could add your name online at aclj.org.